Praise the Lord. Let me hear you. I said, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for such a gathering this morning. And we thank the Lord for choosing you. Say, he has chosen me. We thank you for choosing you to be a minister, a preacher of the word, a lifter up of the people who are fallen. And I pray that the little time we spend together this morning, the Lord will open your eyes. Amen. For you to know what he has called you for. Amen. And the power to exercise the authority, the anointing to possess, so that you will fulfill the ministry he has called you for. Amen. And I pray that at the end of the journey, you'll have reward unspeakable, reward unquantifiable. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this gathering today. We thank you for the anointing and for the authority and for the power you have given your people. And I'm asking, Lord, today that you will do great, mighty, wonderful things in every life. And then you send us forth with your power, with your anointing, with your unction, with the kind of ministry that will bear fruit in this land and beyond this land. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. As we come together today, there are a lot of approaches we could take. But I'm going to take a direct approach. I'm talking on fulfilling the ministry. Number one, you have to have a ministry before you can fulfill that ministry. And then what do we do? What do we engage in that we might fulfill the ministry? Preach Jesus. That's all we do. Preaching Jesus, talking about Jesus, demonstrating Jesus, showing Jesus to the people, and then making sure that everything Christ has done, everything he wants to see replicated and reproduced in the life of the member of the church, the convert into the kingdom, that everything is fulfilled. As you look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, Colossians 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You'll find there, say to Archippus. It was actually telling all the members of the church at Colossae that anytime you see this minister, Archippus, don't talk about irrelevant issues. Say something to him that you should fulfill the ministry as you take care of the ministry. Say to myself, say to yourself, anytime you are being carried away by whatever is happening in the ministry, you say to yourself, and the people that know you will say to you, take heed to the ministry. Don't allow that ministry to fall down, to fall into the gutter. Don't allow that ministry to have disrepute. Take heed to the ministry. Whatever you will do, whatever you can do to lift up that ministry and make that ministry number one in your consideration, number one in your priority, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. You received the ministry when you came in the Lord. You did not receive a ministry as a sinner outside the Lord to go and minister to sinners. You did not receive the ministry as a backsliding, falling person, rubbing your shoulders with sinners, drinking sin, smoking sin, delighting in sin outside Christ, and then you go to minister to sinners. You received the ministry in the Lord, and now that thou fulfill it, fulfill it. Look at that word, fulfill. Fill it to the full. Don't spend part of your efforts disorganizing, destroying, destabilizing what you are building up. Fill it to the full with all your knowledge, with all your senses, with everything you've got, with all the skill you've got. Fill that ministry to the full, and say to Archippus, take it to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Let me ask myself some questions. What do I do? I've got a ministry, a Christian ministry, a Christ-controlled ministry, a Christ-projecting ministry. What do I do so that I fulfill that ministry? One, evangelize. If I'm going to fulfill the ministry of Christ, and I'm going to do what Christ did, what do I do? Evangelize. Number two, edify. Now, I evangelize the world. And then as they are brought into the kingdom, we edify the saints. You evangelize, you edify, and then we have to make sure that we empower. There are many people in the church, they are babes. They've been babes for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years, and nobody empowers them. Nobody equips them. If I'm going to fulfill the ministry, I come to ministry looking at the world, and I evangelize the world, I edify the saints, the church, and I empower the people who are already in the church. Because as I empower them, it's only then I can enlist them. Enlist them and engage them. The ministry is not a one-man show that I do all the running, I do all the preaching, I do all the singing, I do all the intercession, I do everything. I empower others and then I engage them, I enlist them. And then we need to establish them. You don't want people who are up today and down tomorrow. You establish them in the faith by your life, by your example, by your model, by your ministry, by your ministration, by your devotion. You are establishing them. And then Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so he says, and whosoever shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Finally then, you yourself, you walk in the path that shows you endure to the end. And then you motivate, you encourage, and you help the people under your ministry that they too will endure unto the end. If I go through that, and I make sure that my ministry, my preaching, my prayer, my intercession, my counseling, everything is tailored towards all that, then I'll be able to take heed to the ministry so that I fulfill the ministry. Now, who can I tell? Who can I point to that he fulfilled the ministry. A number of people can point to in the Bible, David was called of God, and he fulfilled what God has called him to do. And we can point at a person like Paul the Apostle, and he said, I have finished, I have kept. Now, there is a crown of righteousness that is waiting for me. But the highest example and the greatest model we can point to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he left, he said, Father, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And now I leave the world and I come to thee. And every step of the way, you remember how the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he said, I do always the things that please you. And so Jesus fulfilled the ministry. I'm going to look at Jesus because we are talking about preaching Jesus to fulfill the ministry. Preaching Jesus to fulfill the ministry. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily, look at that word, not occasionally. There are people in the ministry, they do what they do occasionally. They do it once in a while. They do it today, and then after some long time, they come back to doing it. You don't fulfill the ministry that way. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. That's what they did daily. Every time. They didn't stop. They were unstoppable. Because they were unstoppable, they were unconquerable. Because they were unstoppable and unconquerable, they were unbendable. There were forces that tried to bend them, that tried to crush them, that tried to put them under. And they used their authority, whatever authority, political authority, religious authority, whatever. Didn't we tell you not to do this? You came too late. We had already consecrated ourselves. We were going to fulfill the ministry. And coming late and telling us, don't do this, my friend, that's too late. We've committed ourselves that we will evangelize. We will edify. We've committed ourselves. We will empower. We've committed ourselves. We will establish the people of God. We'll enlist them. We'll engage them. And we have committed ourselves to enduring unto the end. So coming now and saying, didn't we command you? We must rather obey God than man. You will obey God. With all your strength, with all the power, with all the courage you have, and that the Holy Ghost will give you, you'll endure to the end in Jesus' name. And so they didn't stop. They ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Now, as I talk about Jesus Christ, number one, I talk on the foundation. Number two, I talk on the fountain. Number three, I talk about the fullness. If I'm going to preach Christ and teach Christ, exalt Christ, if I'm going to identify with Christ, if I'm going to model Christ, one, the foundation. One, lay the foundation. You are going to build a good edifice. You are going to build a solid house. Lay the foundation. Number two is to lead to the fountain. You lead the church to the fountain of living waters. You lead the people of God to the fountain that we find in Christ. Number three is to live in his fullness. You lay the foundation, how do you build? Like a foolish man who hears all these things, and without a foundation, he built a house, and the storm came, and the wind blew, and blew upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Lay the foundation. Lead the people to the fountain. The fountain of living waters, the fountain of the blood of the Lamb, the fountain that is shed for the cleansing of the people. Lead them to that fountain. Number three, you also make them live as you live in the fullness of Christ. That as the days go by, you become more and more and more like Jesus Christ, because you live in the faith of the Son of God who died for you, and he lives in you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, not after I'm gone, not in glory, not in heaven, right here on earth. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're looking at 3 points today. Number one, preaching and partaking of the foundation of Christ Jesus. Preaching it, partaking of it, the foundation of Christ Jesus. Number two is proclaiming after we are purged through the fountain of Christ Jesus. We see the fountain, inexhaustible fountain, that millions have come and yet there is room for another. And we lead everyone coming to that fountain where the blood of the Lamb will cleanse them and the water of life will satisfy them. We're proclaiming after we are purged through the fountain of Christ Jesus. Number three is publishing and possessing the fullness of Christ. Publishing and fulfilling and possessing the fullness of Christ. Now, we're going to do something. Let me tell you the reason why. And it's in Revelation chapter 22. I'm looking at verse 13 there. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. It says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am, not I was, not I will be. He says today, yon day, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Take that last line, the first. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. The last, Omega, is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The first and the last, the beginning. Alpha is the beginning, like A is the beginning of our own English alphabet. A is the beginning of our language alphabet. And then it says the end. Omega is the end. Can I just remind you that from the beginning to the end, from the first to the last, from the Alpha to the Omega, from the A to the Z, Jesus is always there. And no matter where you come, from the beginning of creation to the end of consummation, no matter where you are, in between Adam and the last person that will live, Christ will always be there for you. always there for me. At the beginning of a new journey, Christ is there. At the beginning of the Christian life, Christ is there. At the beginning of a challenging life, Christ is there. At the beginning of your marriage, Christ is there. At the beginning of your profession, Christ is there. And then when you move on and you get to the end, at the end of life, when you are about to pass over River Jordan, when doubts are coming, where will you spend eternity? Christ will be there to say, I'm always your friend, I'm here with you. And it will take you to the great beyond in Jesus' name. Point number one is preaching and partaking of the foundation of Christ Jesus. Christ is the advocate. Advocate, that's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, if any man commit any sin, big sin, small sin, a surprising situation that led him into sin, or a habitual character that he's done it again. If any man sin, we have an advocate, an attorney, a lawyer, a defender, the one, the day star, the one that stands in between the sinful man and the holy God. And he takes the hand of God because he's equal with God. He takes the hand of man because he identifies with man. And he brings the two hands together and reconciles man unto God. He is the advocate. Preach that. Preach that. Let the people know that their works cannot save them. Their tears cannot save them. Their fasting cannot save them. Their rolling on the ground cannot save them. There is only one that reconciles them unto the Lord, is Jesus the advocate, and is the author and the finisher of our faith, is the Alpha and the Omega, is the one that is always there and it brings us to God. He is the advocate. Be is the bread of life. B is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. B is the bridegroom. Let the people know. Don't allow the people to stay at just the kindergarten of the Christian experience. Let them know there is salvation. Let them know there is sanctification. Let them know there is the bread we can take, and it sustains us. It empowers us so that the church will not be weaklings all the time. You know, when you've not eaten for 7 days or for one whole month and you're weak, you're anemic, any little thing will blow you down. Many members in many churches are so weak because they're not taking of the bread of life. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 48. In John chapter 6, reading from verse 48, it said categorically, I am the bread of life. If any man will feed on him, he will be strong. And of course, you know, he's the bridegroom of the bride. He's the one that takes care of everyone, every member of the church, like the husband will take care of the wife. And he is the baptizer. He baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. A is for advocate, and B is for the bread and the baptizer, and C is the cornerstone. The cornerstone, he is the captain of our salvation, and he is the Christ. He is the Christ. Anything we're looking for at any age, at any stage of the Christian life, Christ is there. He is the captain. He leads us into the battle, and he never lost any battle. Any battle in your life, Christ, which you are the captain, you'll win that battle. Any battle in your family, you know, they've come. Christ, send Christ to the door of that sin. That thing will vanish away in Jesus' name. When we have a winning captain, a person that never lost any battle, we don't have to fear when any battle is coming. You know, this time of the year is when it always comes. Last year it came this time. Last year, the other year it came this time. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I prayed and I prayed at the crossing over of last year to this year that, Lord, help me today, help me this year, that these battles will not come. Well, it has come. What are you going to do? You and the captain will overcome. Amen. Christ and you, and Christ in you, the hope of victory and the hope of glory. You're going to win the battle in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes when battles come, we relegate our captain to the background, and then we're fighting, we're praying, we're doing, they say, all kinds of prayer, territorial, damaging prayer, and mountain moving prayer, and Jericho wall falling prayer, and we leave the captain behind. And you could just have said, Christ will perish, why are you sleeping? And then he will rise up and say in one sentence, peace be still, everything will be over. In your life, those negative things will be over. Amen. All the things that torment you, thinking that now everything is going to stop here, you've done enough. You are going now. Well, if Christ said you are going now, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If Satan says you are going now, will you go?
No.
You are not going to go home at the direction of the devil. Christ is not a co-commander with Satan. Christ is not a co-commander with Satan. So, Christ is not going to allow Satan to command you, and he also, when it comes to his turn, will command you. Satan has no place in your life anymore. He is the cornerstone. He is the captain. He is the Christ. Look at this in Acts chapter 4 verse 11. Acts chapter 4 verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you by the builders, which is become the head of the corner. And then in verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there deliverance in any other. Neither is there dominion in any other. Neither is there power in any other. Neither is there redemption in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thee now, Jesus is also the door. After all, is from Alpha to Omega. He is from A to Z, and he is the door. He is the deliverer. He is the desire of all nations. Look at John chapter 10 verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am, that the great I am that I am, always I am the door of the sheep. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If any man, from any nation, in every place, in every generation, if any man enter in, what's the qualification? Rise up, turn your back on your past, look forward to Christ, and he opens the door and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, anyone opens the door, I will come in. It's for you to come in. Come in from the world. Come in from the outside. Come in from that darkness and come in. He shall be saved. He shall be saved. How many people wonder, am I saved? Am I not saved? What are we preaching to them? Are we telling them the certainty and the assurance of Jesus that Somebody can be in church for 2 years, for 3 years, and is wondering, am I saved? Well, I am the door. By me, only by Christ. If any man, no matter how sinful he had been in his life, enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Somebody shout Emmanuel. How many times we as Christians live like orphans, as if, who am I? What do I have? Who do I know? And I'm going through this world, and our favorite song is, it's not an easy road. Sometimes in the valley, sometimes on the mountain, sometimes I'm strong, sometimes I'm weak. I don't know how my life will end. And you know, we think we know how to pray when we kneel down and we shed tears and we say, God, I'm lost. I'm at sea. I can't find myself. Satan is near. Enemies are near. And we cry and cry and cry. We think heaven will be smiling and saying, that mind, my mind, that man knows how to pray, that woman knows how to pray, because he cries a lot. Heaven looks at such a person with pity. How is it? This person says he's in Christ, and he doesn't know that Christ, the Savior, is Emmanuel. Look at this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, call that name. They shall call his name, call that name, which being interpreted is, tell me, God with us. Personalize that, God with me. If you are born again, I say, personalize that. If God is with you, he's nearer than Satan. He's nearer than those magical people, occultic people who are bragging they will do this and do that. That is how Pharaoh bragged, but he perished in the sea. That is how Nebuchadnezzar bragged, who is that God that will save you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King Nebuchadnezzar, they even called him by name. They said, no big deal. Do what you can do. We have Emmanuel. He will deliver us from thy hand. And the man got angry. And he bound them together, and then he brought the greatest and heftiest men in his kingdom. He said, throw them into the fire. And those people that helped the wicked to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they lost their lives. Not only here, they lost their lives in the great beyond. And now they fell down and they rose up. And they were walking. They didn't have to talk. Your victory will tell the story. Yeah. You don't have to brag and go on and saying, you know, we told Nebuchadnezzar, God is able. You don't have to do all that. Just keep on walking. And then Nebuchadnezzar himself looked in and said, tell me, people, how many people did we throw into the fire? They said, three. He said, but I see four. Look at that. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And the fourth one is like the Son of God. That's Emmanuel. He will be with you. In the fire, he will be with you. In the furnace, he will be with you. When people think they're going to turn your ministry upside down, Emmanuel will show up. F is the foundation. F is the fountain. F is the friend of sinners. F, he is the forerunner of our faith. He is the foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I have laid the foundation. Look at the building in which we are. Beautiful, wonderful building. There is a foundation. And then there are blocks, individual blocks that are placed on the foundation, and each of those blocks are not waking up every morning. I hope the foundation will carry me. The architect that makes sure that the foundation is strong enough to carry all the blocks, all the bricks, everything we put on that foundation. The Heavenly Father, the great architect, the creator of heaven and earth, has made sure that the foundation, Christ, is there, and anyone that comes on that foundation, Christ is able to carry your weight. He will carry your load. He'll carry your problem. Whatever you have, and however complicated it may be, just rest. Look at those blocks. They're not coming out and going in. They're not worried. They're not anxious. They're not sweating. And they're not trying up and down. They abide there because they know there is a foundation that carries their weight. There is a foundation that carries your weight. He is the foundation. And then he said, I've laid the foundation, another builded thereon, but let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. In verse 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, G is the gift of God. The gift of God. A gift is not something that you pay for. Already, the Father in heaven has sent that gift. For so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The woman at the well was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was drawing her out of the well of the world. She came to draw water out, but Christ was drawing her out of the well of her background, the well of her pollution, and the well of her past life. And then as the questions came back and forth, Jesus said in chapter 4 of John, reading from verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the worst of sinners, the worst of immoral people, the worst of human specimen. And the Lord said, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that says unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee. Look at that. If Christ will give to that woman, ignorant woman, sinful woman, adulterous woman, if Christ will give to that man, he will give to you. Yeah. I said he will give to you. Yeah. You do know something? Gift is not something we cry and plead for. I'm thinking of a family now, and the daughter coming to the mother, and so, mommy, please, and started crying, give me the gift of a breakfast, the gift of a glass of water to drink. Mommy was thinking, what's come on my daughter? What's wrong with my daughter? That's how the Lord is thinking when we come before him, and has told us that if you've been able not to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things unto you? And then we come and we're crying and we're pleading, oh Lord, give me, oh Lord, give me. And he said, if you only knew the gift of God, that it is not something you earn, but it is something that God will give you freely. You would have asked of me, and without crying and without pleading, I would have given you the water of life. Everything you need that will satisfy your life, the Lord will give you today in Jesus' name. Look at verse 14 there. In verse 14 there it says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, as you look at that verse of scripture, you'll see that that verse of scripture is very different from the average experience of the average Christian. And there are people, they build their lives on the testimonies of the average Christian. The average Christian says, I was born again, I came up, then I fell, then we went for a conference, I was restored. After another week or two, I fell back again, and I lost all the experiences, and now I'm back again. And who knows, tomorrow again, I might get back to the old life, going and coming, falling and rising. Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, for the foul water of the world anymore, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. You'll never feel dry. Springing up, you'll never be weary. Springing up, there'll be no desire when Christ, the water of life, is there to go for the gutter water that is passing on in the world, the water of the world that will give you disease. But then the water of life will be springing up in you. Amen. New life. Amen. Abundant life. A happy life, a life that goes on, and you will not be weary of the Christian life in Jesus' name. You know, somebody said, I'm tired. Tired of what? Tired of the water of life? Tired of the bread of life? Tired of Christ, Emmanuel, God with you, and in you? Tired of the captain of your salvation that leads you to victory and victory every time? No tiredness anymore. Yeah. And now age is our healer. Age is our hope. Age is the heir. Age is the head of the church. Look at Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 18. And he is the head of the body. And he is the head of the body. Have you ever noticed the function of the head on the body? As long as there is connection between the head and the rest of the body, the hand will move right. The legs will walk right. The eyes will see bright. And every part of the body will function normally. But when the head is severed from the body, all the rest of the body, no matter how strong, how vibrant, everything will go dead. Just make sure that you remain connected with the head. As you are connected with the head, you remain alive. Everything in you will come and burst out with real life in Jesus' name. He is, not that he was, not that he will be. He is the head. How do I understand that? Today, Christ is the head of the church as he was in the first century. And this is not a head that is going weaker, that is losing memory. It's not a head that is getting weaker and weaker. In centuries, it's still the same mighty head and powerful head of the church. If Christ is that same head of the church today as he was the head of the church in the first century, the body, the church, should be as strong as the church was at that time. I didn't hear an amen for that one. And we're coming back to that day. We're coming back to that time when the head will have its rightful place in the body. And then all the members of the body will have all the strength, all the unction, all the anointing, all the power every member of the body ought to have in Jesus' name. You know, at this time now, that part of the body is strong. This other part of the body is weak. This part of the body is rich. That other part of the body is poor. When all the members, hands and feet and the kidneys and every part of the body, when they all come under that same head of the body, your church will be as rich as our church. Amen. Your ministry will be as strong as their ministry. Because we all come under Christ, the head of the church, and he is the healer. I said he is the healer. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Who forgiveth, tell me, all thine iniquities? Who healeth, tell me, all thy diseases? I am healed. I am healed. It is confirmed in heaven in Jesus' name. I is the intercessor. I, the intercessor. You remember Abraham interceded for Sodom, and God the Father did not leave that spot until Abraham ended his intercession. And Moses interceded for Israel, a whole nation. And God said, Moses, I have done what you have asked of me. And now Christ, greater than Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. And Christ, greater than Moses, he is the Lord giver. But Jesus is full of grace and truth, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. If the Father answered Moses, the Father will answer Jesus. And Jesus is at the right hand of God. And there, what's he doing? He's praying for me. I said, what's he doing? I said, what's he doing? He plants a vision in your heart. That vision is greater than who you are. And the money to fulfill that mission, you don't have now. But the one who gave you that vision and mission is at the right hand of the Father, is interceding for you. I said he's interceding for you. And whatever is lacking in your prayer, he will supply what is lacking. Look up here. Here is a big zero. That's all your prayer, all it amounts to. You pray a little, you're yawning. You pray a little, you're feeling sleepy. You pray a little, and you're repeating the same words. You pray a little, you have to stand up and, you know, walk here, walk there, and keep awake and kick Satan and kick all the demons. But everything amounts to zero. And then Christ, one standing by that zero, one, oh, that's 10. Your prayer jumps the hurdle. Because Christ, the intercessor, is joined with your prayer. Amen. When your prayer is not good enough, Christ's intercession will match it for you. Amen. He's praying for me. I said, he's praying for me. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, never tired.